S-R-N.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman, because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Welcome to CCN for December 2013. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Drew Sacogburn. Drew, how's it going?
What up, bro?
And, just doing another one of these bonus episodes.
Bonus?
You shouldn't do that. That's another podcast. Yeah. Anyway, I was thinking, should I cut that out? No, I'm not going to cut that out. It's way too lazy to do any editing.
I'll just cut it out.
No. I do a warts and all podcast.
Well, just pretend that you guys didn't hear it.
We'll pretend no one heard it. That's a great idea.
Just pretend you didn't hear it.
We're all get into this compact together.
Uh-huh.
So, welcome to the show. This is a bonus episode where we don't talk about movies. If this is your first time checking out Cinema Crespediso, because I realized recently that this happened with someone. The first time they checked out our show was a Crespo Disco episode.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, because that was just the most recent one. That was the one at the top, so they downloaded that one. They listened to the music-centric episode.
And they were like, whoa, music.
Yeah, but then they're like, oh, that was pretty good. Now let me check an actual movie episode. The bread and butter, the main thing, the flagship, Cinema Crespediso. So this is not that, guys. This is the CCN. This is our news network. This is my news network, because every news network out there has a spin. 90% of the media is owned by six companies. Six companies overall own 90% of the media outlets. Did you know that, Drew?
Really?
Back in the 70s, there was over 50 companies that owned 90% of the media outlets in this country.
Wow.
Now it's only six.
So we're getting a pretty skewed view.
Very skewed view. So that's what this show is all about. We're not beholden to anybody. We're beholden to ourselves. So we don't have to skew it for anyone, right? We can try to see what's real and call people out on their shit and call the media out on their shit. That's what I'm all about. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'll take that as right there.
Yes.
A little bit delayed.
Sorry.
So here we go. We're going to get into some just the top stories for the show. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of news here on the CCN desk. So let's get started with... You already drew over there? What's going on? You got some computer problems? Do we need to put out another cry for the...
Please.
For help?
Please, somebody. Anybody. I'll take anything that's even remotely new. I don't care how used it is. I can't do it anymore, man.
Drew needs... his laptop is on his last legs, people. He needs help.
Not,
come on.
That's
someone
not,
get him, someone
that's
get him
just
a computer.
It. It's not... My laptop isn't on its last legs. It works perfectly fine.
Except
it's an old-ass Mac, and the OS, the operating system, won't update, so therefore nothing else will update.
So it's not really working too fine, is it?
Well, yeah.
So you need
It's working new... fine. It's the applications that don't work.
Someone get this guy an updated computer that can update and work, because he's struggling over here just to do the simplest of tasks.
Maybe I'll get something for Christmas.
Please, someone donate to... Anyway, here we go. None that we put that out there. The last time we did a CCN last month, we had a couple of stories that I have updates to. Very interesting updates. Both of them very similar. Do you remember, Drew, the story about the New Jersey waitress who got stiffed on her tip?
Yes.
And someone wrote on her receipt, we don't approve of your lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
Her perceived gay lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
We got an update to that story.
Okay.
New Jersey waitress in anti-gay tip flap loses job.
Oh, nice.
Why would you think she might lose her job, Drew?
I don't know. Maybe the place that she was working at decided to fire her.
Yeah, but why? Why would they?
Because of something she did afterwards.
Afterwards.
In response to, I don't know.
How about this? How about maybe she faked it the whole time? She faked it the whole time. Here we go. A New Jersey waitress who received thousands of dollars in gratitude after claiming she received a homophobic note in lieu of a tip has been let go. Dana Morales, 22-year-old former Marine, claimed last month that a family of four racked up a $93 bill but left her no tip with the whole "we do not agree with your lifestyle" thing. And then it got out. She emailed the story. Morales herself emailed it to a gay advocacy group, and that got wind. You know, they got picked up by the media, and she got the money that she wanted. But then what happened here? Blah blah blah. Pretty much, the family came forward and said, "No, we left a tip," and they showed their credit card statement or whatever, and said, "Look, here's the money deducted. We tipped out," and then they found I think there was video footage of her doctoring the receipt.
Nice.
So she was slowly busted, and then former colleagues of Dana Morales came out. I'm like, oh yeah, she's a pathological liar. When I knew her, she told my family that she had a brain tumor or brain cancer or something, which she never did. Discharged from the Marines for, what is it? I like the wording they use. She was discharged under, quote, less than honorable conditions.
Nice. So it was not an honorable discharge.
What then. The heck does that mean? As a matter of fact, left an $18 tip on the $93 bill. This New York family did not leave any sort of anti-gay note.
Awesome.
So this woman used the media and used her own knee-jerk reactions and public sympathy to get thousands of dollars. And she said she was going to donate the money to Wounded Warriors here in Florida.
Yeah, sure she did.
Yeah, no record of any donations under her name. Or from the zip code where she's from in Jersey. So there you go. New Jersey dirtbag right there. Very sad.
Scum of the earth.
Very, it's a shame, you know. Plenty of people that do face such discrimination for who they are. They don't need people mucking up the works like that.
Yeah.
Goddamn shame.
It's a shame.
Do you remember, Drew, this is along the same lines, do you remember, Drew, the story of the racist graffiti on the football player's house?
Yes.
They put something about how this team doesn't want N-words, yes, like on huge letters, uh-huh, on the garage. I can't remember.
I saw it on the Espen.
That was in Lunenburg, Massachusetts, I believe.
Okay, sure.
Anyway, yeah, Massachusetts. So if this is like the last story, if this is like last update, what do you think happened, Drew? What do you think is the update on this one?
Probably fake.
The mother did the graffiti herself. All right, so here we go.
What a crazy bitch.
Here we go. Let's see. Investigation into who spray painted a home with racist graffiti has turned toward the woman who lives there. Police said on Wednesday that Andrea Brazier is now considered a strong suspect in the case. Officials say they executed a search warrant on Tuesday and seized two cans of spray paint and ammunition from the home. I don't know why they had mentioned the ammunition or why they even had to seize that, but they took their ammunition. Brazier, who is white, and her husband, who is African-American, live at the home with their 13-year-old son, Isaac. Brazier initially cast suspicion on her son's high school football teammates, saying he had been bullied in the past, and the school canceled the football team's final game. Remember that? They canceled the game?
Yes.
On the poor kids? Now it turns out it was the mom the whole time.
What a crazy bitch. What a crazy-ass white lady.
Yeah, what the hell? A police affidavit obtained on Wednesday indicated that she stopped cooperating with investigators and had changed her story several times. Is there any reason why she might? I don't know.
Because she's crazy.
So far, no charges have been filed. as of the writing of this story.
Another update. Was she going to file charges against herself?
No, whether people file charges against her for fraud, you know, misrepresenting whatever. I mean, she accused the whole football team of,
I'm pretty sure just the news getting out will be embarrassment enough for her to never live that down in that town.
It sounds like a small town, too, right?
She's got to move.
Lunenburg, Massachusetts. So there you go. Those are a couple updates. This story, Drew, you know, there's a reason why ignorance is still rampant.
Because people are stupid.
Because people are stupid. Not just people, but people who are quote-unquote role models. I don't even say role models, but just the people that get looked upon. I'm talking about television. I'm talking about the shit box.
You mean people take the people on that on the idiot box seriously?
Way too seriously. Way too seriously.
They realize it's entertainment, right?
It's the worst of entertainment, too. It's the bottom. It's the dredges. It's the scraping at the bottom of the barrel, if you ask me. That's fucking television. Entertainment comes in all forms, including news. Entertainment news. That's sort of what we're kind of doing here.
I guess.
Yeah, whatever, right? Fox News host Megyn Kelly.
Who is...
Random...
Random girl.
Random blonde anchor woman on news who has her own show.
Okay.
5 days a week show, I guess.
Good for her.
And it's on Fox News, so.
So she's stupid.
And millions of people watch it and agree with her.
Yeah.
Got in some hot water this week.
Okay, what'd she do?
Well, someone for Slate wrote an article about, like, why can't Santa be black or why is Santa white?
Okay.
So, this chick decided to talk about this topic on her show, and she was very adamant about how Santa Claus is white. She's like, just get over it. Why are we even talking about this? Santa Claus is white. And then, for some reason, she even threw in there, like, unprovoked, that Jesus is white as well. And these are just facts.
Okay, so she's got. I mean, I can understand the Santa being white thing. You know, it's Northern European tradition. You know, a bunch of white folks came up with the idea.
Right.
So it makes sense that Santa would be white. But I mean, anybody who knows anything about religion, or history for that matter,
or geography,
or Jesus was a Jew.
He was Semite. He was Semitic.
Yeah. He was not. He was probably the most unwhite person ever. He had more of a chance of being black than he did of being white.
He looked more like Bill Duke than he did Willem Dafoe. Let me just say that.
Yeah, totally.
Most likely.
Yeah. Now, like I said, he has a better chance of being black than he does of being white.
So that happened earlier this week.
Okay.
Right? And then she got a lot of shit, obviously.
Well, yeah, because she's stupid, and she said stupid things on national television.
In front of a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And actually, you know what I saw on, I think it was The Daily Show. I saw, it was either that or Colbert Report, one of the two. I saw something on one of those shows where they talked about how the history of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Going back to the St. Nick stuff, actually it would go back to the land that is now known as Turkey.
Yes.
So St. Nick was actually a darker skinned fella himself.
Oh well, there we go. So he was olive skinned as well.
Yeah, yeah. He was a darker complected guy.
Yeah.
He's not the big old white jolly fella.
Well, it's all a mixture of everything.
Yeah, we all know now it's a Coca-Cola image, too, as a Santa Claus that we all worship and deify.
Yeah, totally.
And we praise him with cookies and milk every once a year.
Thanks, Coke.
So, you know, she got dragged through all the critics came out, dragged through the coals for this shit, right? Here we go. Fox News host Megyn Kelly stands by Santa is white comments.
Okay, that's
calls
fine.
Critics humorless.
That's fine. Santa Claus, I mean, maybe the original St. Nicholas wasn't white, but even so, like I said, these are all Northern European traditions, you know. There were that many. There were no Asians.
Yeah.
There were very few, probably Middle Easterns.
I mean,
the Moors had invaded by then, so there were plenty of dark skins.
The Moors. She says, humor is part of what we were trying to bring to the show, but sometimes that is lost on the humorless.
Oh, wait, so she's saying she's not
bringing, so it's not a news show anymore. Now it's an entertainment show. So she's doing something more like the Colbert Report. So I can't take her seriously.
Nope.
And therefore, she's not credible.
She says, this would be funny if we're not so telling about our society, accusing her critics of possessing a knee-jerk reaction to race bait. This wasn't motivated by any racial fear. So,
what, is she afraid that, what, Black Santa's going to come and do something terrible?
Who knows what she's afraid of? Yeah, she probably is afraid of that. She probably is afraid of that.
She should be more afraid of Krampus.
Krampus is crazy.
Krampus is awesome.
Krampus is crazy. Okay. However, Kelly was willing to give ground at one point her second assertion that the historical figure of Jesus was a white man. As I've learned in the past 2 days.
Are you effing serious?
No, here. Listen.
In the past 2 days,
no, listen to
she
this.
Learned
yeah,
this.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But listen to this stuff. As I learned in the past 2 days, that is far from settled.
Far from.
So she won't even concede. She's like, listen, it's not even settled.
Far from settled. No, it's settled. If the man existed, he was a Jew. And more than like, I mean, I'm talking Israeli Jew over here.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So,
straight from Israel. So, or Bethlehem.
So, Megan,
sure.
Megan
somewhere in Jerusalem.
Megan Kelly has her own show 5 days a week. The Kelly File.
Dumb.
Millions of people watch it.
She's dumb.
She's extremely dumb. And, you know, she spits things out like that. Like they're facts.
Anybody?
And there are a lot of people that, you know, they all agree with her. I didn't bother clicking on the comments on the bottom of this article. As of the time I printed this out, 27,000 comments on this article.
Oh,
now, who's going to look at this and see that it has 20, even when it has 10,000 comments, who's going to comment on the article? Who's reading the comments?
Internet trolls.
These people are insane. And I bet you I don't even want to start reading those comments.
No. Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate part is the people who watch her are probably dumber than she is.
Yes, that's yeah, and she's just feeding into that.
That's the scary part.
That's not good.
He's really dumb.
That's not good. So, but hey, that's the world we live in.
Come
on,
I don't even.
What the media's feeding.
I don't even believe in Jesus, and I know more about him than she does.
It's very sad. It's very sad. Well, moving on from the privilege entitled white people. Two more privileged entitled white people.
Sweet privileged entitled white people. Speaking of privileged entitled white people, did you hear about the kid getting off for the DUI?
Influenza, is it?
Ah,
real?
Yes!
That's the story.
Oh, that's so awesome. I'm so glad. I just heard about this on the way home.
Heard about
on the radio.
Affluenza. That's a mixture of affluence and influenza. Attorneys for Texas teen Ethan Couch claimed that his, quote, affluenza meant he was blameless for driving drunk and causing a crash that left 4 people dead in June. Simply put, Couch, 16, claims that his condition stemmed from having wealthy, privileged parents who never set limits for him. Drew's covering his face because either he's crying or he wants to, I don't know, he's probably seen
I
red.
Want to murder this kid.
He wants to murder.
I want to murder him.
Well, it'll be easy to find him because he's not going to jail after killing 4 people. Judge Gene Boyd sentenced this kid Tuesday to 10 years of probation but no jail time.
Who's the judge?
Judge Gene Boyd.
Of
Texas. Somewhere in Texas.
That man should be disbarred.
It's a lady, apparently.
She should be disbarred.
She would work. She's going to work to find him a long-term treatment facility.
Long-term treatment facility? What, are they going to take away all his money?
Well, they'll save him his money. Through payments in the form of, you know, you gotta pay to go to this treatment facility sponsored by the state. You know how they do. You know how they do. And then meanwhile, the guy who lost his wife and daughter in the crash said on Anderson Cooper, there are no consequences for what occurred that day. The primary message has to be that money and privilege can't buy justice in this country. But as we know, as we're seeing right now,
That sets the most terrible precedent in the world.
It does. Well,
all of these fucking rich, stupid kids can now literally get away with quadruple homicide.
Quadruple homicide. Drunken, quadruple, negligent homicide. And they can get off with zero prison time whatsoever. Not surprisingly, this article points out, affluenza does not appear in the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Disorders, or DSM, the Psychiatric Bible.
Whoever, oh my god, seriously, it's so freaking ridiculous.
Well, you know what, these parents, they got this guy, this attorney, whoever the attorney's got, just as attorneys.
Oh, yeah. They're not putting their names out there.
They should, man, because they're good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're good, but they're also scum of the earth.
Oh, well, they're attorneys. What do you expect? Someone's got to get these kids out of jail, get them off. Someone's got to take their parents' money. If not them, who? If not now, when? If not where? No, if not there, never mind.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
If I had been 16 years old and done that, I would still be in jail, Chris.
You would still be in
jail. I would
jail.
Still be in jail.
If I did that at the age of 16, yep, I would still be in jail. Probably pretty much everyone we know would still be in jail.
No.
That's the world we live in, Drew.
Blows my mind.
Well, that's the country we live in. That's the country we live in. But now let's take a look at the CCN International desk. This is coming from the International Wire, BBC yeah. News. Reporting
from
Italy, and I bet your money has a little something to do with this one too. This is a fun one.
Okay,
this is a good one. Judge sees quotes romance in child sex case.
Wait. Okay, go. It took me a second.
Just take you a second. Let yeah, that yeah. sink in.
Uh huh.
Are you enjoying your breakfast, people?
Keep going.
Did you just take a bite of that,
sausage,
egg, biscuit sandwich?
I'm starting to want to murder people.
Italy's top appeals court has annulled a 5-year jail sentence. First off, only 5 years? Come on. Annulled a 5-year jail sentence against a 6-year-old man found in bed with a girl of 11. On the grounds that it's, quote, a romantic relationship. This case happened in the southern... What?
You're fucking kidding
me. I can't make this up. This is from the BBC News. The case happened in the southern Italian town of Catanzaro, reports Italian news website TGcom24. The girl is said to be from a disadvantaged background and was in the care of the man.
Of course.
Right? Yeah, very predatory. That's what the Sandusky dude was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all underprivileged kids. Uh-huh. This guy who works in the town's social services department, so you know, access to kids, naturally.
Scum of the earth.
Police discovered the pair in bed during a raid on his villa. They don't mention what the raid was for.
Yeah.
He was given a 5-year sentence for sexual violence against a minor. Five years.
Okay, whatever. That's a good. That's pretty much 5 years of getting raped yourself.
Yeah, but that's nothing though. 5 years, that's nothing. The age of consent in Italy is
13.
14.
No. Dude, wait 3 years. Come on.
Actually, it rises to 16 where one of the partners is in position of authority or care over the younger.
Well, there we go. There needs to be 16, bro. You're 5 years too early.
However, the court has quashed the original sentence due to extenuating circumstances. The girl has reportedly professed to be in love with the defendant, and the court has found the pair have a, quote, romantic relationship. Case has been sent back to the court for a retrial. Court cases in Italy are normally subject to several levels of appeal before a sentence is confirmed.
The kid is 11 years old. She has no idea what love is.
What love is? Let me tell you what love is. This is the world we live in, Drew. This is sad. And you know what? Disadvantaged youth, social worker, older gentleman probably had some money. Money for the lawyers.
Where can I sign up to be like person who kills all of these scum of the earth people? Like, is there like some international society of people who go around killing all these stupid fucks? Because if not, we need to start it.
I wish.
Because it needs to happen.
It needs to happen.
Stuff like this should not be happening in the world. And the fact that it's A, happening, and B, that it's legally sanctioned, blows my mind.
Have your mind blown by CCN on a regular basis. That's from the international desk. Let's move over to, this is our sports report. The CCN sports section of the show.
Okay.
All right, why not?
Yeah.
Vitaly Klitschko vacates a WBC heavyweight title to focus on politics.
Well, of course, I mean, don't they both have PhDs?
I don't know. Do they?
Yeah, I'm the pretty Klitschko sure they brothers? Do. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're both doctors.
They're both doctors, and they're both heavyweight champions. Refuses to fight each other, so there's no unification of the heavyweight titles until now, maybe.
Well, I mean, he's given up his title, and someone's got to take it.
It appears that Vitaly Klitschko's boxing career is coming to an end. He vacated his title Monday, December 16th, to shift his focus from the ring to the political arena. WBC has given him an honorary title, WBC Emeritus. Champion. Emeritus. I had to look that one up. remember.
Yeah, because most people probably just don't go out on top. They're not like they're not sitting on the championship like, all right, I quit.
Right.
They're like, I lost the championship, now I quit.
But he's like, no one can take this from me. I'm too good, but I don't feel like fighting anymore, so I'm out. So they're like, all right, listen, we'll declare you honorary champion for life. It's cool. And they also said, if you ever want to come back,
By all means,
you can fight whoever's the champion at the time. But he vacated the title, so now two of the top three contenders can compete for the vacated belt. Meanwhile, Klitschko will take his 45-2 record with 41 knockouts. And he'll go into the political arena in the Ukraine, where shit is crazy right now in the Ukraine. They're trying to figure out, are we going to be part of the EU? Or are we going to hang out more with Russia? The EU is like, we're offering you to be a part of this, but then people in the EU are like, but it's Ukraine. They got nothing. They're falling apart. I don't know. It's crazy shit.
They got nothing. They're falling apart. Look at the rest of the EU. They got nothing. They're falling apart.
That's the thing. That's why they don't know what's going on. Like, hey, Germany's like, we really need this. I don't know.
Yo, if Germany's like, yo, bro, we'll hook you up, at this point in time, hell, without Germany, that entire freaking continent goes under.
Yeah. Vitaly Klitschko's nickname, Dr. Iron Fist.
Nice. Dr. Iron Fist.
That's pretty good.
Dr. Iron Fist versus Dr. Magnets. Who wins?
Oh, Dr. Magnets, because he controls the Iron Fist. Sorry, Iron Fist. He ran up against Dr. Magnets. That was a mistake. So there you go. Those are your top stories. International sports and whatnot. And a couple story retractions. I'm still doing it. We're still going through it. I like to talk about media spin. And the media spin we're talking about last show and in this show is the whole Florida myth. Myth of the Florida man.
Uh-huh.
How all the crazy people are somehow in Florida. The rest of the country is perfectly fine. But Florida is a crazy country. Florida is quite crazy state.
Yeah, because you know we have white ladies spraying racial slurs on their own garages.
Or what? You know we had that in Florida school shooting, which is almost a year and a half after that theater shooting. Oh wait, no, that was Colorado.
Yeah.
Colorado's kind of thin air.
Yeah.
Rockies and the weed now is everywhere. They're going crazy.
Awesome.
They don't know what's going on.
I can't wait. I'm visiting. I'm visiting this summer.
Oh, be careful. They're insane over there, man. Are they, though?
Bro, I'm from Florida. Trust. I know crazier people.
A couple crazy things happened in the state of Colorado over the span of a year and a half. All of a sudden, the entire state is crazy. Should I write them off? Should I?
Yes.
Because that's what people want to do.
They're all crazy.
That's part of the whole Florida narrative BS thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm here to combat that. Shit happens in every state. That's insane all the time.
And country.
So we went over like 10, 11 states last time. I took them off the list. You got the state randomizer there.
Yes, I have the state randomizer.
I have stories for every state.
I hope there's no lice in the state
There's
randomizer.
No lice in that thing whatsoever. It's clean.
Should I just start picking one?
I got the wrong song there. I just wanted to fix the song for a second. I thought, there you go. So here we go. I mean, I think I set up. I set it up properly. People know what we're doing here.
Whatever.
We're going to talk about all the other crazy states and how these would be Florida stories, but people are ignoring them because it didn't happen in Florida.
All right. What kind of crazy shit's going on in Missouri?
Oh, Miz or
the Miz.
That'd be an easy one to find. That's, you can, is that? No, that's Mississippi. I almost read Mississippi.
Nope. Missouri, bro. M-I-S-S-O-U-R-I.
I can't find a... Bless you, sir. You all right?
No, I'm fine. All right, I guess I'll put Missouri back.
Yeah, put it back. I can't find my Missouri story. Wait, no, is this it?
Already starting.
No,
off.
I got it. I'm sorry.
No, I got it. Damn it.
It's okay. We can pull it out. If you see it again, we'll pull it out. I'm sorry. That's my bad. Ex-church bookkeeper admits taking $300,000, St. Louis, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Just straight up stealing from the church. Former Hell bookkeeper of suburban St. Louis church faces sentencing March 7th after admitting that she took more than $300,000 from a church checking account. 52-year-old Elaine Lewis of Fenton pled guilty to mail fraud. To mail fraud? For stealing money?
That's been the way she did it.
Man, she embezzled money from a checking account, $300,000. That's horrible. They're stealing from their own churches in Missouri. That is fucked up. And I know we got listeners in Missouri. Missouri people, we love you. But, it, but you're stealing from your own churches.
Would it be as terrible if I stole from a church because I don't believe in God?
That'd be even...
Would it be as bad because I'm an atheist?
That'd be less worse.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Less worse.
Okay.
Less worse. So Missouri, sorry, Missouri, you crazy. What we got? What else we got?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
The land of cheese.
All right, let's see what we got here.
And hopefully cows. There's probably cows up there, right? Where there's cheese, there's cows.
Oh, are there cows up there? Funny you say that,
Drew. Oh, good Lord. What are people doing to cows?
Pizza maker DiGiorno cuts ties with Wisconsin farm accused of abusing cows.
So they're just, what, beating them up?
They're just beating up cows in Wisconsin, man. What's wrong with these people? Top-selling frozen brand Zora DiGiorno and its cheese supplier cut ties with a Wisconsin dairy farm Tuesday after an animal rights group released undercover videos showing workers beating, kicking, stabbing, and whipping sick and injured cows. I actually saw this on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
About a week ago, I saw someone put up a thing that said, and it said, boycott DiGiorno pizza.
Well, it's crap pizza. I don't eat that shit anyway.
It's not very good pizza anyway. But it said, boycott DiGiorno pizza. Because this is how they treat their animals. And he clicked on a link and it took you to a website and a video started playing immediately. There was some dude just whipping the shit out of this cow. And I was like, whoa, I don't want to see this. And I clicked out of it, but I get it. Yeah,
seriously,
I don't eat the DiGiorno anyway.
Yo, so. Why whip the cow? Just kill it and then, I mean, it's the point of it anyway. You're just going to kill it and eat it. Why don't just kill it right there and eat it?
It's crazy. Weiss Brothers farm owner Mark Weiss told the AP that he fired two employees and assigned another duties that don't involve handling animals after seeing the video. So awesome,
good for him.
But they lost their big DiGiorno account. That's what you get for hiring Wisconsin scumbags at your cheese cow farm, you bunch of idiots. Drew, what else we got?
New York.
Ooh, New York.
What kind of crazy shit's going on in NYC?
See, that's almost unfair. Because there's just so many people there. There's always crazy shit happening.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I even went outside of New York City. To try to narrow the playing field.
Nice.
Or narrow it, level it, you know.
Level, yeah, whatever the term is.
So here we go, this is in Buffalo. Upstate New York.
In Buffalo, hey, I know people in Buffalo.
What's up, Buffalo? Are they listening?
Do you really think John Phillips is listening? I hope his brother's.
No, they're not listening. Teacher sends home note about dirty, stinky children.
Okay.
It was a high-poverty urban community, so it's understandable that Buffalo teachers may sometimes struggle with children who are going to school wearing dirty clothes and smelling bad.
Okay.
Such conditions might ordinarily prompt a call to a school social worker and direct contact with a child's parents, but a pre-K teacher at Build Academy came up with her own novel approach. She sent home with every classroom student a copy of a handwritten urgent notice. I have the notice right here.
Okay.
Urgent notice! 3! Please read! Double underlined. Several children in pre-K ages 3 to 4 are coming to school, sometimes daily, with soiled, stained, or dirty clothes. Some give off unpleasant smells, and some appear unclean and unkept. Parents, please take care of this matter. It is a health and safety concern. It also makes it difficult for me to be close to them or even want to touch them. Enough said. Please sign and return so I know you've read this. She even wants the parents to sign the notes and return them. Like, they're fucking students.
Well, if they can't take care of their own children, then obviously, you know.
So you're siding with the teacher on this one.
Of course.
All right.
Clean your babies.
So fuck you, Buffalo. But in New York, you got dirty kids with soiled pants. I thought we were going to be dissing the teacher, but we're dissing the kids and the parents.
Yeah.
It's fine with me. But they're all fucked
scummy
up.
Parents.
They're all the worst of the worst. We got tons of listeners in New York. Most of them in New York City, though. New York City's way cooler. What, hit up the randomizer. What's the next state? What we got?
Alabama.
Alabama! Oh, that's an easy one.
I'm sure this will be fun.
That's an easy one. Alabama. What's going on in good old Alabama? Man shot killed after arguing with roommate over television.
Okay, so why was this person worth dying?
This is in Birmingham, Alabama. Ever been to Birmingham, Alabama?
No, don't plan on it either.
Birmingham police have charged a man with killing his roommate after an argument over a television turned deadly. Donald Stallworth, age
29.
56, was killed in a shooting on Pearson Avenue, who cares where, at 1:35 a.m. Sunday. Police say just moments before the shooting, Stallworth got into an argument with his roommate over the TV. Stallworth was shot and later died. It doesn't say over what, though.
Something about the TV. Well, apparently it was damn important because he got shot over it.
It was at 1:35 in the morning. I'm going to say he had the TV too loud. We're gonna turn that shit down.
Maybe you want to change channel.
Or do you want to sleep? Quentin Jackson, aged
48.
47.
Oh.
Has been charged with murder on a $75,000 bond. They're shooting people over TV disputes in Alabama.
Yeah, you better watch yourself, bro. I might shoot you over TV one day.
Maybe. Maybe when you're 65 years old.
Oh, God. No. No.
Randomizer!
Mississippi.
Oh, Mississippi. There's no way. There's no way nothing good's happening in Mississippi.
Oh, terrible things are happening in Mississippi right now. Awful things.
Let's chalk this story up under that this is why we can't have nice things file.
Okay.
Vandals destroy expensive sculpture in downtown Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Vandals destroyed a valuable piece of artwork in downtown Ocean Springs. The shattered sculpture was discovered over the weekend. It was installed 2 years ago as a gift to the city. It wasn't the first time a sculpture on city property was vandalized. When was the last time you heard about public property or city art being vandalized or destroyed around here?
It's art. Why the hell? I mean, even if you don't like it, why? Dude, it's art. Come on.
Each sculpture is worth about $10,000, and replacement cost is about, more than a year ago, thieves hit another sculpture that was also donated by an organization. The replacement cost on that was about $1,400, $10,000 for this one. Oh my God, these people, that's why they can't have nice things in downtown Mississippi.
Yep.
Downtown Ocean Springs, Mississippi, because they're a bunch of goddamn Philistine heathens.
Heathens!
They can't appreciate some goddamn art!
Heathens!
I miss people, dude. And none of these, how come, you know, you don't hear about this stuff happening, do you, in Florida? I don't know.
Of course. It happens
everywhere.
It happens every day,
it happens everywhere. Give me another story.
Illinois.
Give me another state. Illinois? One of the eyes, huh? Let's see here. Let's try to keep this in alphabetical order. So as I go, J, K, L, I. I think I got that.
I, J, K, Chris. H, I, J, K.
Ooh, this is a fun one. Ambulance driver charged with DUI.
Oh, please tell me he was on the job.
Oh, of course. An ambulance driver is accused of being drunk when he crashed into another vehicle. Actually, was he on the job? Let's see here. John Lara is charged with aggravated driving under the influence, causing an accident resulting in bodily harm, disobeying red light, failing to reduce speed, negligent driving, and failing to carry or display a driver's license. That's a lot of charges, man.
Ambulance driver didn't even have a driver's license?
His blood alcohol level was 3 times over the legal limit when he ran a red light and hit a pickup truck.
Awesome.
The ambulance had its lights and sirens on. So he came into the intersection with the cars that are westbound and eastbound continuously on Montero, said he witnessed. I just watched an ambulance and slow down at all. It was as if he had a death wish. Laura had glassy eyes and slurred speech, according to the police report. He was unable to explain where he was going or why he was using his emergency equipment when there wasn't a patient in the ambulance.
Oh, so he was just driving around the ambulance drunk.
He was hammered and joyriding.
Yeah!
That's going down in Illinois. Does it say where in Illinois? Is this, Chicago.
I know we're not talking about movies, but what's the one with Nick Cage?
Bringing Out the Dead.
Yes!
That's a crazy one.
I know.
Seems like he was pulling a Bringing Out the Dead, right?
We're not talking about movies!
Next state.
Ohio.
Ooh, that's MNOP, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that how that works? The
I have to start with A every time.
What's that thing called? The alphabet. Avon Lake, Ohio. Ohio police chief's wife in jail for shoplifting.
Oh, I was hoping prostitution.
It's a police chief's wife.
Like I said,
for anything.
I was hoping prostitution would be a lot more fun.
The wife of a police chief in Northeast Ohio is serving a 10-day jail sentence for shoplifting.
10 days?
10 whole days. Shoplifting at a Kohl's department store.
Seriously, bro? Aren't you making enough money? Can't she be stealing from Macy's or something?
She pled no contest to petty theft. She'll be on house arrest for another 30 days after she finishes the jail sentence.
House arrest is expensive.
Attorney said she's undergoing counseling and, quote, feels terrible for what she puts her family through.
Yeah, she doesn't.
Oh, and it was the second time she has been convicted of shoplifting.
Oh, she's got a problem.
She's got a problem. Police chief's wife stealing stuff in Ohio. the law stealing from the people.
Sounds about right. Welcome to America, bro.
Welcome to America. How many states is that? I have no idea.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Looks like I got 7 scraps of paper in front of me.
Yeah, let's do a few more.
Delaware.
Ooh, Delaware. Tiny little Delaware. You think that one would be tricky because it's Delaware. It's so small.
Oh, still. Crazies everywhere.
Oh, yeah. This is classy. Classy move, Delaware. New Ark company shuts down without telling employees. A New Ark area company goes dark, leaving its 24 employees jobless just before the holidays. Imagine you showed up to work and all the lights were out and there was a sign on the door telling you to go home. That's what happened to employees at East Showings Real Estate Call Center. So as people showed up to work and there was straight up a sign just said,
I've seen that happen with restaurants before.
And then not getting paid for the last few weeks of work and checks bouncing and stuff.
Checks bouncing, no. Never. I was never that unlucky, but I definitely showed, well, I was lucky enough to get a phone call, but I knew servers who showed up on Monday to an empty restaurant.
Yeah.
And I laughed from my house because I got a phone call on Sunday.
Well, that's really what happened to these people in New Ark, Delaware, where I've spent a little time. In New Ark, Delaware.
New Ark?
New Ark.
Oh, wow.
Newark is in New Jersey. New Ark, spelled the same, is in Delaware. That's right. Where the University of Delaware is. Go Blue Hens.
That was weird.
Well, their name is, you know, they're the Blue Hens, and their companies are closing down without notice, so they're doing great in Newark, Delaware. Glad I stuck around.
Oh, yeah.
What we got next?
North Carolina.
Oh, shit. North Carolina. You know what?
Not South.
You know what North Carolina has going for it? It's not South Carolina.
Correct.
Because,
it's got some good college basketball.
However, keeping with the sort of a theme of the show, maybe sort
theme?
Of.
Theme? There's a theme to this thing?
Maybe after I read this one. Middle school intern in possession of child pornography. Pretty much you got a guy who works at a middle school and there's child porn. And
guess why he works at middle school.
Do we even need to get into that one?
No, I mean, that's pretty much self-explanatory.
Nice job, North Carolina. You got child pornographer enthusiasts working with your kids. Nice screening process you got there.
You could say the same thing for the Catholic Church.
You could say the same thing for just about anyone, anywhere, anytime.
No.
Shit happens. Sandusky. Pennsylvania. Give me no sleep.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, how did I know you were going to Pennsylvania? I just knew it. You know why I knew?
I don't know.
Because it's crazy. Pennsylvania newlyweds, quote, just wanted to murder someone together.
Oh, I heard about this on the radio, too.
You heard about this one?
No, it's a good one.
At least this one then got some play. You'd be surprised how many, when you go through the odd news or crazy news, shit like that, how many fucked up stories come out of Pennsylvania. No one wants to put those two and two together.
This one's a good one.
It's a good one. You know what? Couple in Pennsylvania killed a man whom the wife had lured to a rendezvous.
He ended up dying?
Yeah, they killed him.
At the time I heard the story, he wasn't dead yet.
Oh, no, he's dead. Lured to a rendezvous through an online dating advertisement, strangling him and stabbing him repeatedly.
22 times.
The pair named Elite and Miranda Barbour just wanted to murder someone together. Barbour, 22 years old, hid under a blanket in the back of their car as his 18-year-old wife, Miranda, drove to pick up a man she met through Craigslist at a mall north of Harrisburg. On her signal, he strangled the man, a 42-year-old dude, with a cord while she stabbed him about 20 times. Dumped his body. Police found him next day. Pretty twisted. That's pretty great. After dumping the body, they bought bleach wipes, towels, cleaning liquid to remove the blood from inside the vehicle, and then they went out to eat.
Yep.
Well, I mean, what else do you do when you kill someone?
Oh, we just murdered somebody, Chris. God, I'm starving.
Starving? Let me get a cheeseburger.
Nah, steak, rare.
Rare steak, rare animals. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, monsters. Seriously.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Yeah, totally.
If that happened in Florida, it'd be like, oh, Florida. Wah,
oh,
wah,
Florida
wah,
couple.
Wah, wah, wah.
They'd still be talking about it on the news.
Give me another state. One more state. Let's do one more. Let's do two more.
Maryland.
Maryland. Alright, so we see we got Michigan, Montana, Maine. Oh, that will be following Maine. Is Maryland. Man, 79 charged in a stabbing. 79-year-old man.
Man, old men even getting into it.
Seriously. He was upset when his 50-year-old when the 50-year-old victim was throwing things out of a garage. Investigators said the old man stabbed the victim in the abdomen with a box cutter.
Ooh. Oh, nice. Box cutter stab.
The victim suffered non-life-threatening injuries. 79-year-old man charged with first-degree assault. How's that not like attempted murder? You stabbed him in the gut with a box cutter. I mean,
that's a box cutter. I mean, unless he's slicing at him with a box cutter. If he would have gone for the femoral or something.
Doesn't say why. All you gotta know is that old men be stabbing in Maryland.
No.
That's fucked up.
Man. Old men.
One
man.
More. Here we go.
Stabby Old Men.
Stabby Old Men. Let's see that movie. Stabby Old Men 2, starring Jack Lemmon.
South Dakota.
We're not talking
about movies! Point.
South Dakota man gets 50 years in prison for raping toddler. Moving on. Moving on. Give me another state. We're not going out on the toddler rape story. South Dakota. Fuck you, South Dakota. Holy shit. And that's true. That's a true story too, guys.
That's just so terrible.
Just Google the headline. It'll come up. I'm not getting into it anymore.
Utah. Oh, that is awful.
Utah.
But at least he got 50 years. I mean, he should have life in prison.
Like, he should have pulled that shit off in Italy, man. He would have been fine. Maybe I'm like, I love him. Google, go, go. All right, he's off. We'll get that affluenza defense. Utah.
Oh, man.
All right, let's go out. Let's finish this segment on this story.
God awful.
It's a better story. Man, South Dakota. God,
wow.
South Dakota. In here. When was the last time we heard about that in Florida?
No, that people
never.
People do that in Florida.
Bath salts or no bath salts?
Yeah.
Utah. Officers say a naked Utah man bit the police dog.
Wait. He bit the dog?
This is a case of Chuck that's under man bites dog. West Valley City, Utah. A Utah man accused of running naked and biting. Don't forget the naked part. Utah man accused of running naked and biting a police canine is facing multiple charges.
That's assault on a Leo.
That is an assault on a Leo. Court records show Erasmo Garcia Sema, who is how old, Drew?
23.
27.
Oh.
That's pretty close. Faces a felony charge of injuring a police animal.
Okay.
And three misdemeanors. All right. So an officer found Garcia Serna running naked and yelling in a Costco parking lot on October 28th. Police say that he flexed his muscles and fists in a threatening manner. So he did the classic come at me, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And he approached the officer who released the canine. Garcia Serna started biting the animal on the neck and did not stop until he was tased three times.
Wow. So, he was going for the jugular.
Man, this guy had something going on with him.
He's probably high on PCP.
He's high on something. They do have rampant drug problems in Utah because it's so boring there.
Yep, nothing else to do.
So there you go. All right, any of those stories could have been crazy Florida stories. But they're crazy stories everywhere else because that shit's happening all the time. That's all like in a span of 2 days I'm finding these stories.
Yep.
You know, I'm not looking that hard either. It's not taking me very long. You know what else you don't see in the news a lot?
Huh?
About Florida or many places. Positive stories.
Well, it's because nobody was. Well, I mean, it just doesn't matter now.
Doesn't sell as well. Peace sells, but who's buying? But this is from the New York Times, Drew. New York Times article.
The 19s.
It's from November 6th. Beyond Orlando's theme parks, a beer culture grows.
Correct.
Craft beer is usually not what comes to mind when thinking about Orlando, Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, or another splashy theme park. Yes, but not beer. Today, however, this landlocked Central Florida city is getting a reputation for its growing craft beer scene. In the past few years, locals in the Orlando area have opened bars offering a wide selection of beers from small producers, and some are even opening spots that serve ales brewed in-house. The Florida Brewers Guild said there are now 20 to 25 breweries and craft beer bars in the Orlando area, compared with 5 years ago when there were fewer than 10.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
It's good for us.
And then the rest of the article just pretty much goes on to highlight a bunch of places around town. The first one they start off with is the Red Light.
Yep.
Then they talk about the Milk Bar over in Milk District.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you got the good old Cask and Larder in Park.
They brew their beer in house.
The Hourglass Brewery over in Longwood. I heard about that place. I think they do some sort of movie thing there. Oh, and apparently they have a giant mural of space themed movie like Star Wars.
Awesome.
Orlando Brewing. I don't know where that is. But it bills itself as the only USDA-certified organic brewery in Florida.
Nice. Oh, that means it's expensive.
Local bands play styles like bluegrass and country music on weekends, and food trucks come out for special events. That's Orlando Brewing. You should check that one out.
Because
it says it's a 7,000-square-foot setting.
Where?
1301 Atlanta Avenue, Orlando, Florida. Their phone number is 407-872-1117. OrlandoBrewing.com.
What's the zip?
It didn't provide it.
No zip? Weird.
Yep. It said, fuck you with your zip. And finally, even says a place called Mount Dora in Mount Dora. 45-minute trip out of the city, but there you go.
Oh, driving to fucking Mount Dora.
Mount Dora for some beer. So there you go. Positive Florida news.
Beer.
Orlando is known now for being an awesome place for beer.
Dude, there's great beer in this town.
There's great beer in this town. Like Orange Blossom Pilsner.
Oh, I love OBP.
Which is a delicious local brewery.
I'm not going to lie, Chris.
Don't lie. Please don't lie.
Over the drinking, I've come to appreciate the toasted coconut porter a little bit more.
Oh, I love it. I love that toasted coconut
porter. I love it. It's delicious. I can't find it anywhere.
So, we're going to talk to Tom about that.
Tell Tom to bring it in. I want more.
We're going to talk to Tom about that.
I want toasted coconut porter.
All right, so... this brings us towards the end of our CCN for December 2013. I always want to end each one with my hating it, loving it.
Tip of the hat, back of the finger.
I started with the loving it, hating it. What is that? Are you scratching over there?
Scratching.
We can hear. You hear that? People hear. If you hear that, that's your scratching.
My wire's scratching.
Oh, it's a wire thing. Everything's connected. I was gonna do loving it, hating it, but you suggested do hate first, and then end with love. That's what you suggested
that
last time.
Did I suggest that? Doesn't sound like me.
I think it was because we were talking about hate so much. I was hating on so much stuff on all those other states and things like that. So I had to combat all that. So
go on the positive note.
So what do you think? Should we do hate it, love it, or should we do love it, hate it right now?
Hate it.
Hate it? Okay, well, let's... Here we go. Wait, say that again.
Hate it!
Oh, damn it. Why does that keep happening? All right, you know what I'm hating on?
What are you hating on?
Let me tell you seriously what I'm hating on these days.
What's grinding your gears, Chris?
I'll say what's grinding my gears. This whole changeover to streaming and the loss of physical media, the way now books are like 10,000 books on a Kindle.
You don't get cool stuff anymore.
Like, that's one thing, you don't get cool stuff.
Half the reason why I used to like buying the CDs, because everyone's like, you get a poster in there.
It comes with a book of little things.
Yeah, book a little art weirdness or whatever. Yeah, no one gets that shit anymore.
You know, if you got a record with a cool cover, you can put the record...
On the wall.
On the wall. Look, it's a piece of art. We have records on the wall. Those are like art, right?
Yeah, man, I got four of them right next to me.
Can I put my MP3 up on the wall that I bought?
No.
You know,
and if you could, that would be weird.
Right? Yeah, that would look strange. It's like, what, are we in Tron? Yeah. What's going on here? That doesn't make any sense.
No.
So I'm pissed about it. Now, here's the thing. If everything was available in streaming, and I mean everything, 100%.
But at the same time, Chris, I mean, vinyl's bigger than ever.
No, it's not. I mean, it's big, but it's not bigger than ever.
It's bigger than it has been in a while. Time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's not bigger than ever, though. It can't, like, sustain an entire industry.
No.
But, like, when it comes to, like, watching movies or TV shows, stuff like that... when everything's not available on the streaming, everything will never be available.
No.
100% of everything will never, ever be available on streaming, no matter how many different services you end up using a la carte style. And it's still going to take a while for internet speeds and providers to give us true 100% like awesome HD quality streaming services.
Yes.
If I had a choice between watching something like, just throwing a movie out there, Avatar... which looks great.
Yeah.
But I had a choice between watching Avatar on streaming, like either through Netflix or HBO or whatever, or on a Blu-ray disc with a Blu-ray player hooked up to the TV with gold HDMI.
Blu-ray all the way.
It's going to look so much better. It's going to sound better. It's going to be a long time before we can, like, do, like, I pull up a movie on my the Xbox, I hit play, and it looks like that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there's
still a lot of information.
There's still value to the physical media, which is going away very, very rapidly. I mean, I haven't. I bought one DVD in the year 2013.
Yeah.
And I just it was just recently, and it's because I had a gift card.
Yep.
So it's going away. It's not. But I don't like it. But we got to do something about it. What can we do? I don't know. Can we do anything about it?
You got to buy more.
Can we buy?
Or make them yourself.
Make them ourselves. Make our own physical media.
Yeah.
So physical media is going away, and that pisses me off, and I'm hating on that.
You know, you can get yourself, you can download yourself a movie, burn it onto a DVD, and
but they
make
still
all the
downloading.
Art.
Who knows what the quality you're downloading? You're like, that's so much work. It's just, so much work, Jeremy.
It's the price you pay, man.
It's
a price. You got to pay a price. A price must be paid.
But to bounce that out, there is something that I'm loving on lately.
Ganja.
Well, just because Bob Marley, that's racist, bro. That is so racist. I am loving on marijuana. No, that's not true. I'm loving on, and I wrote it down. Oh, yes, this is what I'm loving on. I love on this all the time, but I thought it'd be nice to let people know that they should be loving on this too. You ready?
Yeah. Okay.
Comic strips.
Yeah.
They still make them. I want to point out two in particular, the two that I read on a daily basis. Pearls Before Swine.
It's a good one.
And Get Fuzzy.
I've only seen a couple of the Get Fuzzy.
Get Fuzzy is good. Get Fuzzy is good. Get Fuzzy is a traditional cat-dog-human scenario.
I get it.
But not like Garfield.
No.
A lot of talk about rugby and video games and stuff like that. I love Get Fuzzy. I love Pearls Before Swine. Pearls Before Swine is the more irreverent and ridiculous of the two. That's the one that where I go for
Afghanistan has the bomb and we're all gonna die, Chris.
Yeah. That's the Christmas cloud funk thing. Yeah, that's a great strip. So, people, if you wanna smile every day, just find a way to because newspapers are dead.
Yeah. So what they do the strips online?
Yeah, they do the strips online. I actually check them out through Yahoo News
because
I just got this whole thing set up and it pops right up there on my homepage. Today's Pearls Before Swine. I click on that, read on it, and I go through the sidebar. And there's a whole shit ton of different ones on the sidebar, but the only one I click on is Get Fuzzy because they don't do Far Side anymore.
Well, yeah.
Or Calvin and Hobbes. They just said a Calvin and Hobbes joke in today's Pearls Before Swine.
So good.
Where they imagined, they figured, Calvin's 6 years old.
Yeah.
When they stopped writing Calvin and Hobbes in 94.
Yes.
So that would make him about 24 years old right now.
Well, I saw something, heard something maybe a long time ago about some sort of, like, somebody else doing a Calvin and Hobbes type of thing.
Oh, well, you heard in your dreams, because that's not happening.
But it was Calvin was the father, and it was with his daughter.
What?
And something. Like, I've seen a still picture of it on the inner tubes.
No, that's not happening. That's not happening. Sounds nice. Sounds lovely, actually. Bad. So, I'm sorry. But comic strips, though. Read some old Calvin and Hobbes,
too. Did they still do Hagar the Horrible?
I believe they do, yes.
Awesome.
You have that, guy's thing, right?
Yeah, I've got
a
personalized cell by the dude.
So read some Hagar the Horrible, get some old Calvin and Hobbes books, get some
old
Far Side galleries.
Calvin Hobbes books. And the great thing is, the older you get, the better the Calvin and Hobbes gets.
Yes.
I find.
Yeah. And all the things that you're like, I didn't realize that they were doing this stuff.
Yep.
But they were, because they're that. It's that kind of thing where it's like Animaniacs,
Yeah.
It's not all for the kids.
No, and hell, most of Animaniacs is for adults, I would argue.
A good chunk of it is, for sure. For sure. All right, well, there you go. That brings us to the end of the show. So let me get that outro there, because we're done. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this bonus episode. We didn't talk about movies. Well, I guess we did a little bit.
We're not talking about movies,
Check
Chris.
Out our other bonus episodes, Dr. Drew's 2 Cents in the Crestwood Disco at chriscrestwood.com on iTunes and Stitcher. And check out Cinema Crestwood Disco as well. Drew, give me another say out of the randomizer. Let's get out of here. Let's see how many we can get out of here before the show is over. Squeeze them out.
North Dakota.
Did we do North Dakota?
Nope, we did South. It was bad.
We're not talking about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, South Dakota. Oh, God, South Dakota. What's wrong with you people? North Dakota. Knife pulled on loss prevention specialist at Herberger's. A man pulls a knife on a loss prevention officer at a department store as another woman attempts to steal several items.
Nice.
So they're just pulling knives on department store security people in North Dakota.
Those guys don't get paid enough to deal with that shit.
I know. In North Dakota, too. What do you got? At least, hey, you know what, North Dakota? At least we ain't raping toddlers. Give me another state.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Let's see here. If we can only. Oh, here we go. Oklahoma. A burrito causes hubbub at Oklahoma City Police Station. A minor scare at an Oklahoma City Police Briefing Station Thursday. Was caused by a burrito. So let's see. What happened? A man brought a thermos-type container into the Santa Fe Briefing Station. The man said he found the container on his lawn and noticed tin foil showing out of the lid. Officers told the man to leave the container outside and the police bomb squad x-rayed the item. So there you go. You bring in a burrito to Oklahoma City Police Department and they're going to x-ray that thing for explosives. Because tin foil was sticking out and because of its weight, because it was heavy. Obviously, none of those people have ever been to Chipotle. Give me another state.
Washington.
Not D.C., just Washington.
No, just the state of Washington.
All right, well, Seattle barber stabs customer in testicles. When was the last time I heard about that in Florida? A barber, who apparently has a bit of a standing beef with one of his salon's customers, stabbed a customer in the testicles with a pair of scissors last Thursday. According to the police report, the victim was getting his hair cut around 4 p.m. when one of the other barbers started to joke around with him. He told officers he knew the barber from the neighborhood, and they are not friends. Well, duh.
Dude stabbed you in your junk, yeah. Obviously not friends.
Apparently, he assaulted this guy in the past, but was never reported. The victim finished getting his hair cut, asked the barber to stop joking with him. In response, the barber threatened to kill, punch, and stab the victim. And then he grabbed a pair of scissors and stabbed the victim in the gut. And then he stabbed him a second time in the crotch, ripping his pants and making contact with his testicles. Victim left the station. There you go.
Scissors and balls.
Good job, Seattle, Washington. All the rain getting to your brain. Oh, wait. Well, there we go. That brings us to the end. Thanks for listening, guys. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.